Welcome to Let's Talk Hope, giving a voice to the unheard. In this episode, we shine a light on Alfie Squad, an organisation providing specialist support to children and their families bereaved by suicide. We hear directly from two teenage boys, Alfie and James, and we hear about their experiences of using the service, the importance of early intervention, creating safe spaces for children to talk, and the long-term impact of these services and how they can support them over time. Okay, thanks for joining. I'm here with James and Alfie. Got to know them both really well recently on a weekend away for Race for a Reason. So we'll get to talk about that later. So yeah, it'd be really good to hear about who you both are and why you decided to come on the podcast today. So Alfie, if we start with you.
So basically, I started Alfie Squad in 2017 after I lost my dad to suicide. I blame myself a lot and wanted to find other people who I could relate to and would understand what I was going through. Because I went through multiple different counsellors, but none of them had ever lost anyone to suicide, so they couldn't really understand how different it is to everything else, and they couldn't understand the amount of blame I put on myself and how much I thought like I'd end up like him. I just wanted other people that were in a position who'd be able to tell me that it was going to be all right, but we just searched the whole country to try and find a group, and unfortunately it just doesn't exist. So me and my mum set it up ourselves, and now it's sort of like a youth club, and we're supporting over 50 children now in Liverpool, Bolton and online. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Great work, Alfie, and thank you for sharing that. James?
Yeah, well, I've been part of Alfie Squad for 2 years, and helped me a lot. Very positive, very good.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, thank you both, like I say, for joining. So, Alfie, can you tell me, I know obviously I've heard about the fact that you wrote a letter to Everton Football Club, is that right, to talk about the need for a place like this?
Yeah, initially it was going to be a Help the Homeless campaign, because a few months after I lost my dad, we saw a homeless fella outside the Home Bargains just off Penny Lane, and we thought, like, I realised that as much as I was going through a bad, there was people in worse situations as me, but then there's so much going on for that, but then there's literally nothing like us up and down the country and maybe the world. So we shifted on to what we're doing now, which is honestly a lot more beneficial for me as well as the children we're supporting. So that's great.
Yeah, and I've seen you've been winning awards up and down the country, which is well deserved. So how has it been to kind of get that type of response?
It's weird. I was about to say, like, I appreciate it a lot, but then at the same time, it's sort of like, I feel I'm not really doing as much because, like, my mum's doing all the work behind the scenes. It's not benefiting me as much, but, like, it's other people that are getting the help, so I feel I love it and I appreciate it, and it's fun having these big nights where I can dress up in a tuxedo and that and go out, but it's, like, it's a weird, weird feeling about it all. But it's still good.
Yeah, no, that's great. And James, obviously, when did you start going to Alfie Squad?
It was October 2023.
Yeah.
That's a going.
And could you just tell me about that kind of the first time you went and then, you know, some of your experience since you've been going? I mean, how did you find it? Were you quite frightened to go the first time?
I wouldn't say frightened, but I was a bit like, where sort of, how it would be. And then I got there, everyone was really kind. Welcoming. See what's growing into now. It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's a couple of years then that you've been going. Obviously, you've got a little bit older through that time. So, what type of things did you do? Could you just talk us through, like, what would an hour there? How long did you go for?
2 hours, right?
And what kind of things would you do in that 2 hours?
Be like games and stuff, like activities, like these different ones every week.
Okay. So I suppose while you're doing the games, what helped you by going there every week?
Being with people who have been through the same thing as me.
Yeah, so just having that same peer support then.
Yeah, it's comfortable.
Yeah, and did you speak to like any of the staff about anything there, or you know, did you get that opportunity as well, or did you just do activities with your peers?
We spoke to the staff loads there. The staff were all lovely. They couldn't have been any better, the staff.
Yeah, brilliant. And do you think that's helped you now? Like, how old are you now, if
18,
you don't mind me asking?
Now.
You 18. And Alfie, how old are you now?
16.
So, you know, could you both kind of talk about, I suppose, if you hadn't have had Alfie Squad in the last 2 years, do you think it'd be different for you now?
Yeah, I think it would have been different because I don't know how I would have sort of coped with it. But Alfie Squad's like, it's helped me a lot to sort of cope with it because I've been with people who've been through the same thing. Know what I'm going through, I know what they're going through, and they're with each other.
Yeah, and Alfie, what about yourself? I mean, I know you obviously helped set it up, but has it helped you in the way maybe it's helped other people?
Yeah, but it's sort of different for me. Like, I take a lot of pride in sort of being someone for the younger ones to look up to because I was in the same situation as them. I was like the same scared 8-year-old that I see them come through the door as. So it's like, it's good being in that position. But then I've noticed like other things. So I wasn't processing it all properly. Before I started going to the group, I used to make really bad jokes about it, sort of force other people to understand. But I realised it's not sustainable. But then subconsciously, I just stopped doing it after coming to the group for a while. And I think that's because I'd found other people that actually knew what I was going through. So, like, it's benefited me a lot more than I thought it was, considering it had been 6 years since when I started.
And a couple of things you brought up, I suppose. So one thing you said before was that when you'd spoken to counsellors or people, that they hadn't had any lived experience of kind of bereavement by suicide. Like, how important was that for you?
It was sort of a deal breaker, to be honest. Anyone who's lost someone to suicide will understand it's very different. The blame and sort of the self-isolation aspect of it all is quite unique, I reckon. Like, losing someone in other ways, you know that it's not your fault. But then when you lose someone to suicide, you can't help but blame yourself. What if I did this? What if I did that? What if I'd been there? What if I said this? Everyone does it. Like, everyone in my family, after we lost my dad, everyone thought that they had a bit to blame about it all. Like, it's even a topic that comes up in pop culture. Like, look, an Inspector Clouse. The whole thing is just blaming each other. Like, suicide is so different because nobody really knows how to react because it's the person's choice, but then people also think that they're part of the blame. So just not having a counsellor that sort of had been through that themselves, you could read a million books about it, but you can never get lived experience.
Yeah. No, really good point. And I've got to say, Alfie, I'm very impressed that you just brought up Inspector Calls. I think your GCSE teachers would be very proud.
Absolutely.
That you just did that. So well done for that. But, you know, I think you've just spoken about that kind of guilt element that I hear a lot, actually, from young people. And it came through a lot with the evaluation in Alfie's squad as well, when we spoke to parents and we spoke to young people separately as well. James, how do you feel about that? What Alfie was saying there about speaking to people who've got lived experience as well. Do you think that's important?
Yeah, I think it's very important because I think they'll understand it a lot more. They'll understand it a lot more if it's they've lived it.
Yeah, no, definitely. So one thing I wanted to ask you both, as young people yourself, I do a lot of work in schools now for suicide prevention in schools and, you know, trying to get onto the curriculum, how we equip young people to know about the fact that, you know, their friends might talk to them about suicide, they might feel suicidal at some point. How important do you think it is to equip school children with the knowledge about suicide, having experienced what you both have as well?
I think it's very important to teach kids about it, because they can talk about their feelings to people, they can ask how other people are feeling. I think it's a very big part of teaching.
Yeah, and do you think there's a certain age we should we be talking about this in? Senior school, primary school? Any thoughts from you?
It should be maybe late primary, sort of, because you can understand it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Then, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And how about yourself, Alfie?
It's important, like, just starting the conversation on it. Obviously, it destigmatizes it so that, like, it will go on to have lasting impacts and sort of secondary impacts, which are obviously a lot more beneficial than people probably realise. It's better to start it a bit later, I reckon, like late primary, early secondary, because before that, unless they've been around it, they won't really understand. And also, I don't think it's really worth pushing. Like, not the suicide aspect of it, before, like, just checking, like, talking about feelings and sort of checking up on other people, start that straight away, because it can also reduce bullying and stuff like that, which is a benefit to us, obviously.
Yeah, so making sure it's kind of age appropriate, because One thing I have to say I was really shocked with when I came to Alfie's squad was how many of the young people are in primary school and how young they were actually. So I think, you know, young people are being exposed sometimes a lot younger than people maybe realise to kind of the unfortunate world, you know, of being bereaved by suicide or conversations about suicide. One thing some of the parents brought up when I interviewed them was about how going to Alfie's squad really helped them and their children talk about what had happened within their family. And they think if they hadn't have gone to somewhere like that, where the topic was kind of, I don't know, it was allowed to be talked about, there's no stigma attached to it. How much do you think that that's kind of true, what some of the adults are saying? What do you think, James?
Do you think it's true? It takes the stigma away, sort of, like you were saying. You can actually talk about it and you can express the feelings, how they're feeling.
Yeah, and do you think it helped within your family for you to be able to have some conversations?
Yeah, I think it helped a lot in my family because obviously we all struggled, didn't we? But I think once you get talking more, you understand how each other are feeling, understand what you can do for them.
Yeah.
Help them feel better.
Yeah. And Alfie, how about yourself?
When I lost my dad, my mum, like straight away, sort of pushed her into me to just talk. So I spent like an hour every night just chilling in her room talking about it all. And like, I feel like that helped me a lot. It also led me to grow up to be able to talk about my feelings a lot more and like how things affect me, which is can only be seen as a positive, I reckon. But then with the other families, like, because they're able to actually get the feelings out and sort of be in a position where they're going to somewhere where you can see other people who are in the same situation. Like, most of the adults probably wouldn't talk about it unless the child talks about it first. Because it's uncomfortable, you're not really going to start talking about guilt around suicide. But if the 10-year-old starts the conversation first because they've been around other people and they realise it's not their own fault that the mum or dad did that, then it's a massive, massive benefit.
Yeah. And I think because you shared some of that early on when I got involved with the service, we actually, you know, put in some questionnaires and some surveys to ask young people about the different elements you talked about. So whether it was confidence or feeling isolated, feelings of guilt. And I have to say, one thing that was really positive to see in the evaluation was that a lot of young people improved over time. So their feelings of guilt reduced, their feelings of isolation reduced, their confidence improved, self-esteem improved. So I think anecdotally, we're seeing benefits of the group. So could you just tell me what have been your favourite activities or things you've been part of when it comes to Alfie's squad? James, if you want to tell us yours first.
I think the shark dive is my favourite one so far. I think that was just madness because I never thought of ever doing that. And then it came up, I was like, we're doing that. And it was just, yeah, it was brilliant. Loved every second of that.
Brilliant. Sounds very scary. I'm very scared of sharks, so better you than me. How about you, Alfie?
I've always been a big fan of the quiz nights, but unfortunately they've been banned because I kept on winning. So.
Okay, so you're too good at quizzes. You're going to have to get yourself into another quiz team now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to go to uni and start doing pub quizzes. I'm tempted to go to a worse uni so then I can like have a better chance of winning.
What are you trying to say, Alfie? That all the kids are not as clever there.
Exactly.
Great. Well, that's one motivation for university. So I mentioned earlier that we all went on a weekend away for Race for a Reason and raised a massive amount of money, over £55,000, yeah. I think. And it was great to see everyone in their kind of, in their family context, like yourself, James, with your brother and your mom. And Alfie, obviously, I saw you with Chris Kirtland, being very competitive, running a lot, actually. So could you just tell me about, like, you know, your experience of being involved in that? Because from my side, I was on the other side of the table handing out all of your clues. It was fabulous to see the atmosphere and kind of the competitiveness in it in a healthy way, but just all the awareness as well you raised. I mean, I wasn't with all of you when you were traveling to each city and everything. You know, could you just tell me a little bit about your experience of that?
It was boss. Like, genuinely, it was incredible being able to sort of absolutely like it around everywhere. We had a lot of fun, to be honest.
Which cities did you go to again?
Right, we started off in Liverpool, obviously. Then went to Bolton, Blackpool, Carlisle, Newcastle, Darlington, Sheffield, Norwich, Cambridge, then went to North London, then got given 5 surprise photo opportunities around London, Big Ben, National History Museum, Covent Garden, Hyde Park, the South Bank Centre, and then onto Stamford Bridge for the final checkpoint.
I am impressed. That was in order as well.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thanks.
So, James, tell me any kind of highlights or stories from your, you know, your journeys to each city or anything.
It was just really good. I was like really good. Just spending time with the family. I enjoyed like all the new places we went to. Like places I'd never been before. And now we want to go back to a few of them.
So which ones? Give us some examples.
In Newcastle. Yeah. That was we were only there for 10 or 15 minutes, but it was like lovely city where we were. You've just said when we got on the train, like we're gonna go back.
Great. So that's nice that you got to see some new places as well. Obviously you all got to meet a lot of people as well, didn't you, on the race. So obviously Tom was there, who won race for across the world. I was gonna call that one race for a reason then. Race across the world. How was that meeting him? I mean, I thought he was really funny. How about you two? What was your impression?
He was boss. He was a very nice lad, him and his mate Josh. Like, they were both very nice people. He didn't take it too seriously, though, I've got to admit. But to be fair, I think it was fun seeing how all 20 teams took it differently. So me and Chris were absolutely in it to win. We were took it probably too seriously, I can't lie. And then our cameraman, Christian, because we've got a documentary coming out for it, hopefully. He was doing incredibly well, keeping up with us. I've got to say, I didn't think he had it in him, but to be fair, he absolutely smashed it. But then next thing you knew, like, you're just doing it for the fun part of it. Whereas we're just absolutely sweating it, like trying to get everywhere. And it was great.
So how did you do yours?
Well, we teamed up with another team, which was Vicky and her kids.
Yeah.
And then we just took our time, really. So for last day, we just started legging it around London.
Yeah.
That was a bit hectic when you've got 3 layers on and a bag on your back, you're sweating. But
yeah,
it was good.
All your faces when you realised you had to do 5 more stops in London was hilarious. But I obviously got to do a train journey with all of you and the 2 families you're talking about, which was a lot of fun. So no, it was great. So I suppose just to finish off then, in your kind of words, why do you think there needs to be Alfie squads? And what would you say to people who maybe commission these services or who fund these services? So Alfie, if we start with you and then...
It helps. Like, that's the main thing I can say, that it helps. I've got people that I'm mates with that are in the same situation but having games with the group. And I can't encourage them to come enough because I can see how it's benefiting people. And I can see how it's like genuinely changing their lives. Which is absolutely like mad to say. It's like, it's weird. But like, the people above us, the ones that are able to fund stuff like this, it's great for them, businesses. It looks incredible for them. But the lasting impact on the community is incredible. 1 in 9 children bereaved by suicide end up making an attempt on their own life when they're older. And so by having something like this, we believe that we can reduce that massively, which would be incredible. And that, like I said, is incredible lasting impacts, which can hopefully change many, many lives for the future. And hopefully at some point in the future, we won't need an Alfie squad. But for now, we do. So we're just looking to expand as much as possible.
Yeah, I really believe as well, Alfie, what you just said there, that I think having a service like this will help reduce future suicides as well and help those young people to get some really good relationships and just be able to talk about the loss, which I think some young people before haven't had that opportunity. So I really think that's important. And James, yourself?
I think around the country, there's a need for more groups like Alfie Squad. It's like, it's a big issue, isn't it? But I think if you get groups like that, then it's like, makes you feel better as a person. You're with people who've experienced it before, you know what they're going through, they know what you're going through. Yeah, I just think there's more of it needed so it can help people. Especially the younger ones.
Yeah, and on that note, actually, I forgot to bring up the fact that both of you, I hear, help some of the younger kids who are coming through now. How has that experience been for you?
I've been doing that since the get-go, kind of, like, just sort of being around, like, because it's been the longest amount of time for me. I've been able to sort of be there for them for the whole time, and then having people like James come through, you've sort of been here a while, know what's going on, know how to talk about it. Not talk about it, but like know how to help the new kids settle. It's boss.
Yeah. And James, have you found that?
Found it good because it's important to help the younger ones not feel nervous, to make sure it's comfortable for them. And I think, yeah, we're all doing a good job at doing that.
Brilliant. Well, I think, you know, you should both be really proud of yourselves, firstly for coming on here and talking about your experience. I know it's not easy to get young guys to talk about anything like this, so well done and thank you for that. And also for all the work you're both doing on raising awareness. The fact you had this idea, Alfie, you know, through a loss that you had, you've created such a brilliant service. And, you know, someone like James is here who's had the privilege of using that service as well. But also what you're both doing and supporting younger kids who are coming through the service as well. And I think that'll really help them in the future. So thank you both for taking part in this and for all that you're doing.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Let's Talk Hope, giving a voice to the unheard, brought to you by Professor Pooja Saini, head of the Suicide and Self-Harm Research Group at Liverpool John Moores University, and produced by Inabella Media. If you or someone you know has been affected by any of the issues discussed in this episode, please refer to the help and resources listed in the show notes for details of organisations that can provide support. Thanks for listening.